We'll be with you from now.
As always, I'm thankful for the privilege and the blessing and all things that's necessary to be able to come this way. Enjoyed the trip up this day and we enjoyed the meeting thus far. I learned a couple of weeks ago, I've always kind of complained about being called on first, and even though this is after lunch, I still consider it first, but I kind of learned a couple of weeks ago why you get called on first. And they told me it's to get the ones that can't preach out of the way so we can hear some preaching. So just pray for me, and I'll hope the Lord might bless me with a few words. You know, I fuss at myself all the time. I know I come before you so often time, and my mind is so blank that don't know where to go or what to say. And I go back and I start thinking about that. And for there to be one that there is so much that can be said about, and that I should be able to say so much about, I'm ashamed of such thoughts as I have. But I have them. I have them. And I don't mind saying that. I've enjoyed the meeting. I've enjoyed it very much and everything that I've heard. Sometimes I hear words that I'm not always tickled with, or that word has had a different meaning to me. Sometimes we hear this statement that God makes us do things. And you know, I'm kind of against that. I don't think God has to make us do anything. I think it's when we realize who we are and what we are, and the blessings and benefits that flows from the love of God, that it changes that all around, that we don't have to be made to do something. We want to do things. I know that to be a fact in my own experience. I know that there's some things that I didn't used to like to do. And I know that that's turned around. And I hope and pray that it's happened with all of you here. I run across a little portion of scripture the other day that I heard a brother say this some time back. Excuse me. Sloppy reading brings about a sloppy understanding of God's word. And so oftentimes I find myself, and I hope you don't, having misplaced a word or read a portion of scripture and left out a word or whatever, and go back and eventually realize that what I thought it said is not even close to what was in my mind that it said. But I found this little portion of scripture. I want to read it to you. And I think, this thought came to me a minute ago after Brother Gary said I was going to be first. I know this, that God still calls and sends men to preach the gospel. And if you ask me, how do I know this? Someplace in God's word, I can't tell you where it's at exact, but there's a portion of scripture that says that this gospel will be preached to every nation, and then the end will come. And I don't think the end has come yet. So God is still calling and sending men to preach the gospel. And until it's preached in every nation, and we know God knows when that will take place and when that will happen, then the end will come. So, yeah, I still am of a mind that it's our duty, those that have been blessed to hear and know and understand the gospel, that it's our duty to send forth this gospel, to preach this gospel to every nation if you have the opportunity, whenever and wherever. We know that God is not the author of confusion. He wouldn't send me to China to preach the gospel because I can't preach Chinese. So it'd be foolish. And God's not the author of foolishness. He would send you to a people that are such as you are, and a people that has a desire to hear the gospel. Preach the gospel, you know. God will take care of the rest if you hear it. It's because God has visited you. He's opened your ears up. He's given you a mind. to want to hear the good news. How do I know that? I've been on both sides. I've seen the time when it wasn't good news to me, when I just had no use for it. But here, I'm going to read you a portion of Scripture, and I think everyone here that's a pastor or that's been called or to oversee a church would be as Paul was here. And you know, here Paul, in God's Word, in the way He sent men and where He sent men to preach the gospel, and in this place, I'm speaking of Paul having been there, preached the gospel, established a church there, and probably, according to the best records we have, probably the first church. Maybe not the first one, the first one outright outside of Jerusalem and so forth that we have record of, and probably the first written words or epistle that any group of people that believed in the Lord Jesus Christ ever had. And that was to the church at Thessalonica. And you know, if you had a little bit of history and you think about, God wouldn't send somebody to the backside, I don't believe, of a wilderness or a place where everybody was going to pass to preach the gospel. God's wants the God gospel preacher. He wouldn't call men to preach it. He would send people to preach it. So He's going to preach it. He's going to send it, men to preach, where it's going to serve the best purpose. It's going to serve the best purpose. So here at Thessalonica, it's a seaport town, and everybody's passing through it to get to wherever they go. Thessalonica was the capital of Macedonia. If I remember right, we wrote somewhere back in the book of Acts, we're going to hear that Paul, if I remember this right, and it could be a little bit wrong, but there's a man in Macedonia praying that they come over and help them. And whether this had anything to do with Paul establishing the church there or not, I don't know. But anyway, remember, like I said, the church was at a place where people from all other nations were passing through there. They come into the seaport town. So it was a place that would be beneficial in preaching the gospel, that the gospel would be spread out here and there and wherever God would send it to. But I want to read this, and I think if every minister, everyone here, and I hope and pray that we would all, the Lord's people in the church, could fit somewhat this portion of Scripture that I'm going to read here, if I can find it. And I'm going to just start at the first chapter, first verse, 1 Thessalonians. Pronounce these words right. I know that. We'll just start at the beginning of the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians. It says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction and with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Asia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Asia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Now, if I heard that right, Paul was saying there that this people at the church of Thessalonica had heard the gospel and had been obedient to the gospel, and that now they had progressed to a point that he was hearing as he traveled all over Macedonia, not just here in Thessalonica, hearing the good report of what was taking place at the church of Thessalonica. And I think, you know, and I know, I've been in the church for a while, and so oftentimes I'm troubled many times on Sunday morning at how calm and how quiet the congregation can be. No questions asked and no words said. And it puzzles me. You know, that is encouraging me, if you will, back to where I was a minute ago, that sometimes I don't have anything to say. But we all, for the grace and the mercy and the love that God has bestowed upon us, we should all, every last one that's ever have any desire, any love for the Lord whatsoever, we should be full of good things to say about Him. Good things to say about Him. And not be peculiar and particular about who we say them to. God will take care of that part. God opens up ears. God puts in a person a desire to hear the scriptures. I know that. And I think you all, everyone here, can experience that. There's been a time when it didn't mean anything to you. But now that we've heard it, now that we understand it, now that God has, you know, the verse of scripture says, eye hath not seen and ear hath not seen. Eye hath not seen and the ear hath not heard the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. If we love Him, He's revealed these things to us. And they're not just for me. They're for all the whole family of God. Whatever God gives us in the scriptures, a strong message. Most of what God give us what He give me, it's for somebody else. It's not for me. It's for somebody else. It's for others. Just as these people here at Thessalonica had spread the gospel, had spread the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I find Paul here just tickled to death over this as he rides. And there's not one minister here, I promise you, that would not be happy. And it's not to think our glory in this, because if we look at this, if we study, our mind is open to the right way to look at this. It's all at God's hands. It's at His. You know, it's not wrong that you pat the pastor of the church on the back, that you thank him for what he does, full well knowing that it's all of God. It's of God. You're not glorying in him. But you're giving him thanks because God has blessed this church with him, the pastor, and to look over. We all need in this life encouragement. We need support. We can't just walk around and you're not going to be able to live your life and enjoy and the church grow and prosper if everybody's going to just sit and be quiet. We need to know what's on each other's mind. We need to know each other's feelings. We need to know what you like and don't like. And I hope that everything that you like and don't like can be always figured out according to God's word. And we can. You know, we read there's a portion of scripture there and a thing that's been on my mind. It's so far beyond my imagination how people that claim to be Christians, claim to be a church, a full-fledged church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know if they claim that or not. But the Bible is all about, someone read it in Ephesians this morning, it's about us all becoming one. And look what we've did. Look what we've did. In this good country that the Lord has created, his handiwork, and blessed a nation of people above any nation that I've ever seen. And what have we done? We have grown from the church of God, one, to probably 250, 300 different denominations of people that war amongst each other, and one is better than the other, and so forth and so on. I don't find it. I don't find it no place in the pages of the Bible. The Bible is about unity. It's about us being of one mind, of one accord. So how can I say I'm better than somebody else, or I'm better than another? Because it shouldn't have never been. Shouldn't have never been. We all should be one, and that in the Lord Jesus Christ, a member of the body of Christ in the church that was built upon that foundation, him being the chief cornerstone and the apostles. You know, somebody said this morning, and I don't even know if that's in the scriptures, apostolic church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish we could just leave it there, and that would be the way it could forever be. But I know, again, that we have to have names of church buildings and an address, or I wouldn't be able to find it this morning or whenever I went someplace. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with church buildings. I have no problem with it whatsoever. That's where the church meets. Church buildings, there's many, many church buildings. There was a church at Thessalonica. It was part of the body of Christ there. There was another one at Corinth. There was another portion of the body of Christ. I hope and pray that there's one here at Happy Creek. It's just another portion of the body of Christ. And that's all that we all ought to be, is a portion of the body of Christ. Ain't no better place to be. You know, I heard one time, got in a discussion about something in the scriptures, and I'll never forget what this elder said. And I'm in full agreement with him, and I'm thankful for that statement. They was discussing something in the scriptures that was rather complicated, about a 1,000-year reign, and Christ is going to come back, and he's going to do this, and he's going to do that. And this elder, he spoke up. He said, I just want to be where the Lord's at. I just want to be where he's at. That's good enough for me. I hope it's good enough for each and every one of us. He's been so good for us. And, you know, we could spend the rest of our lives when we talk about good works. We can't do a good work. We can't do one, and never will do one, without his grace, without his mercy.
Amen.
We are just natural born human beings, and we've got our problems and our faults. And there's not one here that won't, either today or tomorrow, or live very long, going to do something that we're going to start taking credit for that we would not have done and could not have done except for the grace of God. We're just that way. But you know what God overlooks? He overlooks. He overlooks that thing, those things. If we put trust in him, put our faith, put our trust in him. Why we have such a complicated time? Why did I have such a complicated time? In believing in somebody as mighty, as powerful, as loving, as merciful, and as kind as he is. It looked like it would be just the easiest thing in the world to love him. But it's not. Because it's not. It's just everything God is about is the opposite of what human nature is about. You know, we talk about, someone said this morning, read the Bible. Read the Bible the rest of your life. It'll never get you to heaven. You cannot study. You cannot study spiritual things and ever get any place with them. If God does not bless you with his spirit, that you have the desire of spiritual things, it's just a book full of words. And that's all it'll ever be to you. But when you've been made to see the love that God shed for us, for a poor worm once is no good as I am. You know, God, you know, he's not like us. He would have got rid of us all a long time ago if he was like me. God, in some place the scripture says this, but he's not like man. God, the things that God does is sure and steadfast. If God said he loved you, if God says you're his child, and he gives us many ways to know that, you're forever going to be. Ain't nothing you can do about it. You can be a disobedient one. They're talked about in here. That's what this book is. It'd be real small if it wasn't for disobedient children of God. But it's to help these disobedient children that we might grow away, grow up, mature. You know, he even tells us in the book of Hebrews that sometimes we need to lay aside some of the things that we preach and teach and go on and grow up, get into other things. Don't argue about little things in the scriptures sometimes that we have really no control of. God has control over them completely. God uses us, uses man. I don't say that there's not one that he couldn't have done without. But if he didn't have a purpose for us to be here, we wouldn't be here. If he didn't have a purpose for us to be here today, we wouldn't be here. If he had not placed the desire in some people's hearts and changed their minds that we can walk in out of this ugly world. I hate to say that. God created it and put it here. And we've kind of made it that way. It's happening and happening worse. Live in troubling times, and as I think about that, it's always been. It's not nothing new. You know, we're on the verge now with, as far as I'm concerned, a crazy person with more power than he ought to have, and don't tell him what the outcome will be. I don't know. But I know somebody that knows the outcome. As I think about that, and as I have read God's Word in the lessons that he gives in the Scriptures, anytime one nation goes against another, if God is not with one of them, we're in big trouble. We're in big trouble. And I'm going to close, and I hope Brother Stan or somebody come and preach to you. But God bless you. Keep you from a prayer.
Second verse.